From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Thick smoke is rising from the heart of Baghdad, where buildings and vehicles are still smoldering from two powerful explosions hours ago. It was the worst attack in Baghdad in 2 years. At least 132 people are dead. More than 500 are wounded. NPR's Quil Lawrence was on the scene earlier today. He said the bomber struck during morning rush hour.
This morning at about 11 o'clock local time, we heard explosions that rattled the windows miles away from the center of Baghdad. Now down here at the scene, you can see three government buildings have been virtually destroyed. Rescue workers right now are desperately trying to pull out mostly now dead bodies from the buildings and from the ruined cars.
NPR's Quil Lawrence at the scene of today's bombings in Baghdad. New clashes between Palestinian stone throwers and Israeli police at a holy shrine in Jerusalem's old city have raised tensions. At least 9 people, including protesters and police, were wounded, and 16 Palestinians were arrested. Linda Gradstein has more from Jerusalem.
An Israeli police spokesman said protesters at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam, pelted police with rocks and poured oil on them. Police stormed the compound, firing water cannons and stun grenades. The site is also holy to Jews, as the place where Solomon's Temple stood. Police said some 100 young men fled inside the mosque, where police did not enter. Clashes erupted a second time a few hours later, and 16 Palestinians, including Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's advisor on Jerusalem affairs, were arrested. Palestinian witnesses said the police acted harshly, and a medic for the Palestinian Red Crescent said police delayed ambulances from reaching the site. Tensions have risen recently over rumors that Israel is carrying out archaeological excavations under the mosque, a claim Israeli officials dismiss. For NPR News, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
The Afghan capital is also the site of violent protests today. Hundreds of demonstrators rioted into the streets of Kabul over a rumor that U.S. troops had desecrated a Muslim holy book, the Quran. U.S. and Afghan authorities deny the claim. They accuse the Taliban of spreading the rumor in a bid to build up public anger. Last week, the Taliban threatened to disrupt next month's presidential runoff in Afghanistan. Militants are behind more attacks across Pakistan this weekend, where the Taliban is the target of a military offensive in South Waziristan. In one incident, an education minister was gunned down in the southwestern province of Balochistan. South of Islamabad, a suicide bomber blew up a car on a highway. Authorities say they captured another man who later admitted the bomb was intended for Lahore. This is NPR. Iran is giving UN inspectors access to a uranium enrichment site in a bid to convince the international community that it is not developing weapons. Tehran maintains its program is for peaceful purposes. Last week, the UN proposed that Iran ship much of its uranium to Russia for further enrichment, but there's growing opposition to that idea in Iran. The Islamic Republic has said it would announce a formal decision on that UN proposal this week. The International Committee of the Red Cross and the Inter-Parliamentary Union have launched a new handbook to help lawmakers around the world tackle the problem of missing persons. They say hundreds of thousands of persons have gone missing in armed conflict or as a consequence of political oppression. Lisa Schlein has details from Geneva.
International humanitarian law requires authorities to do all they can to inform families about relatives who have disappeared. Yet ICRC Vice President Christine Bearley says countless people around the world remain without news of missing relatives, sometimes for decades.
Take, for example, the Iran-Iraq war. More than 20 years later, tens of thousands of Iraqi and Iranian families of the missing are still without answers.
The handbook spells out what lawmakers can do to prevent people from disappearing in armed conflicts. It explains what they must do to clarify the fate of missing persons and to better support the families of the missing. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
In The Hague, the war crimes trial of Radovan Karadzic begins tomorrow, but he's not expected to show up. The former Bosnian Serb leader says he has not been given enough time to prepare. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.